United States Senator Chris Murphy. I love saying that because I knew you'd win. and as you've pointed out, I've made you everything you are.
That's so, right. That's right. I owe it all to you.
Right.
At least in Northwestern Connecticut, everybody listens to you up there.
Okay, so let's talk to about Duterte and in the Philippines. He has been received warmly by President Trump. Sisi of Egypt, another military strongman, has been received extremely well. Turkey, one more example of another strongman. I mean, to me, it looks like he likes strongmen. What does it appear to you?
Well, Trump certainly has an affection for strongmen, and you know, I think it should make everybody worried about the kind of tactics he would like to use if they were available to him in the United States. Duterte is a murderer. I mean, personally, he's a murderer. He has bragged about killing 3 people himself, and reports suggest that 9,000, I think 7,000 to 9,000 Filipinos have been killed without due process simply because they were drug addicts or drug dealers. I met with Duterte. I'm probably one of the few.
Really?
I went over there with a congressional delegation right after he was inaugurated. So before this reign of terror began, we had started to hear you know, some reports about what he was thinking about, and the group of us went over to meet with him to talk to him about the concerns that Congress would have if he went outside the judicial system to try to take on the drug industry. And he told us, in that meeting, he said, to me, drug addicts are just as bad as terrorists. And our jaws dropped. We had a preview of how truly bad this guy was. But the affection that Trump has shown him, the invitation that he gave Duterte to come to the White House, it's a license for Duterte to continue this reign of terror. But it's also an invitation to other democratically elected leaders who, might want to use similar tactics, might want to get on a slippery slope to a more autocratic form of government to do so, because you're not going to be called to the table by the United States government in a way that you would have for, the majority of the, last 25 years.
Okay, so that disposed of, I want to talk to you a little bit about U.S. policy on Syria and North Korea. Trump, when he did the big bomb and talking tough on North Korea, his numbers went up a bit. And I'm wondering if you think that we can expect that to be a precursor of more of the same.
Well, his numbers went up in part because he got fairly universal praise from, the political punditry for firing some Tomahawk missiles into Syria, despite the fact that before and after he had no coherent plan for trying to bring an end to the violence inside Syria. And his support for Duterte in the Philippines, frankly, exposes this hypocrisy on human rights. We're willing to fire Tomahawk missiles into Syria to uphold one human rights convention, the Convention Against the Use of Chemical Weapons, but we literally applaud a president in the Philippines who is killing thousands and thousands of people, which is violating another human rights convention. So there's a real, blistering inconsistency to this administration's approach to human rights. I wish, more people were willing to call him out for that rather than just blindly applauding him when he drops bombs inside Syria that frankly make the situation on the ground worse, not better for the Syrian people.
Have you been thinking about the Supreme Court lately? I mean, we know what happened, and we know that there are some pretty old people on the court, and that Trump will get other picks, and that this could be of tremendous influence in terms of American democracy forever. What do you make of that? I mean, does it give you the same pit in your stomach as I have in mine?
Well, it does. When you think of the threat to reproductive choice, Roe versus Wade is still upheld by the Supreme Court essentially on a 5-4 majority. And so if that majority flips, if Kennedy was to step down and be replaced with another Gorsuch-like justice, it probably would only be a matter of time before Roe versus Wade would be overturned. And what people don't understand is that, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's close to the majority of states in this country have laws on the books that immediately make abortions illegal if Roe versus Wade is overturned. So there's no separate process, there's no separate political fight that plays out in the states. Upon Roe versus Wade being overturned, abortion becomes illegal in, I think, around half the states in the country. That should be absolutely horrifying, and it speaks to the huge, huge fight that will be ahead of us if somebody like Ginsburg or Kennedy steps down. It'll be a fight that will be three times the volume of the Gorsuch fight, and every single one of us will be a big part of it.
Well, being a big part of it, do you have the capacity to stop it?
Well, we do, in the sense that, you know, I think Republicans, whether this is right or wrong, will look at the replacement of someone like Kennedy differently than they look at the replacement of Scalia, given that it is the swing vote on the court. You know, pro-choice Republican senators are going to have a really hard time explaining to their constituents why they voted for a justice appointed by a president who says he will only put judges on the Supreme Court that will overturn Roe versus Wade. So I think the standard will be a little bit different for Republicans. It's not different for me, but I think there'll be a little bit different test used. Now, I don't accept the inevitability that there's going to be a vacancy on the court. I mean, there might not be, but if there is, it'll be a different pitch to the battle, I think, than it was for Gorsuch.
The president is taking on the press and saying it's, you know, it's lying, it's misinterpreting what he has to say, the New York Times is failing, First Amendment may not have to be adjusted. What do you make of that?
Well, it's a deliberate campaign to try to create an alternative truth. You know, it's a consistency of categorizing everything that comes from objective news media as fake, so that this alternative reality that is constructed by the Koch brothers and by the alt-right, by the white nationalists, becomes credible. That's how he hopes to be able to win re-election, because based upon a fair evaluation of what this president said he was going to do and what he's doing, there's no way that he could get a second term. He said he was going to create a healthcare system that was, you know, better for everybody, and he's now proposed a bill that would end healthcare for 24 million Americans. He said that he was going to get tough with China, and now he's doing exactly the opposite. He's cutting deals with China to potentially allow them to dump more stuff into the United States. So, you know, I just think he's got to set a set of alternative facts. He's desperately trying to do it, and I hope that the media and the American public don't let him get away with it.
Okay, now, last question. We only have a minute. Now, I know you've admonished me for keeping bringing up the idea that you should run for president of the United States, and I respect you for that. So I have a question. I'm not going to ask you that again here today. How about vice president?
No to all of it. I mean, this is I'm flattered that I show up on some of those lists, but you know, the fact of the matter is I could have never ever imagined you know, that I would get the chance at this point in my life to be the United States Senator from Connecticut, the state that, you know, has meant so much to me and my family. And so I know it kind of sounds cliche when I say this, when I get asked about it, but I literally love this job and have no intentions other than doing the best job I can for the people of the state that I absolutely love.
And I don't want in any way to seem prejudiced, but can't wait to have you on the next time. It's always great when United States Senator Chris Murphy keeps his word, comes up and talks to us. We love having you, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Don.